Why does it keep doing that?
The little, like, flicker?
Yeah, like, flickers beforehand. I don't know why it does that. That's new. It didn't do that in the past. Hi, guys. My name's Aiden Mattis. This is Thorn Bussy. We aren't having technical difficulties, believe it or not. We're just confused about software.
Yep. It's not difficulties. It's just irregularity.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
That felt like a Star Wars quote. I know it wasn't.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But it did. These aren't difficulties, they're irregularities. Yeah. Seems like something that, like, one of the Imperial officers would say, trying to
save their skin.
But what we're going to be talking about today is we're going to be going over a little bit of some stuff we've touched on before, as well as, because the Sierra Nevada mountain range is, big, and it has a lot of weirdness around it, and it also stretches down into Yosemite. We're going to be talking about a number of things, because there's a bunch of weird stuff that's happened in specifically that area, that set of mountain ranges up the western side of the country, from the very odd deaths of those two, that family last year. I'm trying to remember their names, but I'll pull it up. Actually, could you look up for me to Sierra Nevada family dies 2021? There's that, and then... on top of that, we've also got a cluster of missing 411 cases that occurred in Yosemite in the latter half of the 1900s, that just really don't make a ton of sense. And of course, these are before all of the type of surveillance and cell phones and all of that. So it's a little bit, there's a greater chance in this case that these disappearances were not anything strange, but at the same time, with the Stacey Aris case specifically, there's just so many unanswered questions. And did you find it?
Was it the Chung Garish family?
Yeah. Okay. John Garish and Ellen Chung, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, to just touch on that really quick.
One-year-old daughter.
Yeah, they had a one-year-old child and a dog. And they were only a mile down the trail. I think this was like July or August of 2020 or 2021. They were only like a mile down the trail from their car. They had a full bottle of water. It was hot, but it wasn't like that hot. It was not, I don't think it was even over 100 degrees that day.
Out west, that's
getting up into the 90s.
Yeah.
Like, that's still hot. And if you're out for a long time without water, without any shelter, you're going to be in trouble. But they were not, it doesn't appear that's what happened.
Yeah.
They were out, again, the part that strikes me, they were only a mile from the car.
Yeah,
I think a mile, it was either a mile or 3 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, that is not far enough out to be stuck, especially along a well-marked trail. And if I remember correctly, again, they had all sorts of theories. Oh, maybe there was, algae in the river, and they drank some of the river water or something like that happened.
Yep.
Maybe it was, a sudden sort of thing. Maybe it was contaminated food, but there were no traces of toxicity in their systems. There were no signs that there was foul play, and they eventually chalked it up to, I think, hyperthermia, heat stroke.
Mm.
And they basically said, yeah, they just died of exposure to the elements, but that doesn't really track. If I remember correctly, one of the parents was laying down with the child where they found them. The other one was several yards away, and the dog also died. There's just so much about that case that doesn't make any sense whatsoever that I remember questioning it a lot. But then there are also the cases like with, the one that's been very close to home for us, Gabby Petito, where, what?
Just one particular sentence that'll really speak to you.
Sure.
I'm not sure if you were going to get to this point at any point, but it says, there is a mine shaft within a couple miles of where the family was found, but Bree said there's no evidence they entered the shaft or even went near it. But, it's not really about going into the mines.
Yeah, it's about what comes out of the mines.
Yes.
Which, still, in this case, I don't think would... I mean, there's what comes out of a mine and kills people with no sign of trauma.
Yep.
So, I don't know. And again, no toxicity. It seems like they just kind of laid there and died.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't make any sense at all.
No.
And then there's, but there also are the cases like Gabby Petito, where went missing and it was a very real murder. So it's, you know, but in that case, of course, there were signs of physical trauma,
yep.
which is what made the John Garish Alan Chung case so strange, is there were no signs of trauma.
Yep.
But there's been a string of bad things that have happened in this area. For example, the case of Carrie Stainer, who was a serial killer who murdered at least four women in 1999 and did a lot of really horrible, awful things to them. I'm not going to go into it on this show. If you're curious, Mr. Ballin has a great episode on it. We might hit it at some point.
Mm.
But if you want to get the story sooner rather than later, Mr. Ballin has a case on it. I can't remember the title of the video, but I can see about linking it in the description.
Yep.
But yeah, so this was in Yosemite, where he basically just, you know, preyed on women. He was living out there, and it's such a big place that it's really hard to find people, even in the 90s when you had cell phones and you had the internet and, you know, much faster communication.
Yeah, wasn't as prolific as it is today, but even still.
But it's just such a big place.
Yeah.
So there's so many places to hide, so many places to put a body. And honestly, with these cases, it pretty much always ends up being that the killer accidentally or intentionally gets themselves caught by getting too close to the case or something like that. One commonality with serial killers is that they will often insert themselves into the investigation in some way. And it's that there's any number of psychological reasons for it.
Big egos.
I've heard that it's an ego thing. I've heard that it's more of a pragmatic, like, I want to see if they're onto me kind of thing. And then for some, it's just the thrill of almost getting caught.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
You know, there's a number of reasons that people do these things. But in these specific cases that we're going to be talking about today, none of that applies. And that's what makes them so weird. And that's why I wanted to start this off by talking about, yeah, there are serial killers. And there are people who, you know, fall into a mine shaft. And there are people who apparently die of heat stroke.
Yep. Yeah, that even says in this article that it's like just the fact that it happened with all three of them in that close of proximity together with that tight of a timeline is very coincidental.
That nobody, like,
yeah.
Because the thing is, a heat stroke, it should have affected them each at different times.
Exactly.
Like, a 6 foot tall man who's 200 pounds is going to get heat stroke at a much different timeline than a small Chinese woman. Like,
or a 1 year old child.
Yeah, exactly. And the dog on top of it all.
Yeah.
And the weirdest part about that was that their water bottle was still, their water bottles were full.
Yeah.
Which means that
that's just
they didn't dehydrate. Like, a lot of people were like, oh, well, maybe they were trying to conserve it and ended up getting dehydrated. No, that's not how that happens.
Like, no.
You're more likely to finish it off and make an attempt to get out than you are to just let it kill you.
Yeah.
But yeah, with these cases that we're looking at today, none of that applies because there's no signs of foul play. There was, they were on well-marked trails.
Yeah.
And three of them were actually never found, not even bodies. So what happened? We may never know. With the case of the first guy, we don't even have a name for this guy, but
Also in name to your comment about this case in which there was algae and like slightly there were toxins in the water in the river water, they tested the water like bladder thing that they had and there was none of that toxin in it, which shows that they didn't refill it at the river. So it just doesn't make any sense.
Also, I saw in here somewhere, someone said, I sent you something on Patreon that's important. Do you think you can respond? I would need to know what name it is. I've been horrible about responding to Patreon messages. I will admit that. I've been so bad about it. It's probably the one that I should pay the most attention to, but the app makes it so painful to respond. The Patreon app on the phone is just not good. I need to do it on my computer.
No.
But yeah, if you let me know what name it is on Patreon, then I can look for it that way. Because I assume that your name on Patreon is not Sturdy Industries. If it is, however,
it'd be kind of cool if it was.
It doesn't look. Yeah, I don't see it in here. You know.
Yeah. So average temperature of Nevada lower than Pennsylvania probably has to do with that.
Then. Nighttime temperatures probably has a lot to do with it.
Nighttime also. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a little bit more consistent temperature-wise there, whereas we get, I mean, granted, we have cold winters,
wild
but...
swings.
Yeah, I mean, for those who don't live on the east coast of U.S., I mean, it's... They're cold winters, they're not as extreme as you might get up, like, in the Canada border states, but you also get extremely hot summers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you get
Whereas, like, Dakotas and things like that, they get really harsh winters but relatively mild summers. And then down in Florida, Texas, things like that. Yeah, it's like, you know, there's more consistency on either side. East Coast just gets the worst of both. Plus, it's humid as hell. So,
yeah. And, I mean, there's a lot of trees here.
Yes.
Like, the heat just gets trapped in all the moisture.
Yep.
With a place like Nevada, it's so dry that the heat can't really hang around in the air quite as much. So, Pennsylvania, very warm place, also a very cold place.
Yep. Anywhere between, like, Georgia and, like, southern New York is very similar in terms of, like, it's a variation of maybe 10 degrees on any given day.
Which is wild because the southern states, like Georgia and South Carolina, are on the same latitude as Africa.
Yeah.
Like,
it's insane.
A lot of people don't really think about that, but Pennsylvania has the same latitude as Portugal.
Yeah.
Like, we're
we're
directly across the Atlantic from each other. So if you're ever in Pennsylvania, you're like, why is it so hot here in the summer? It's because we're on the same latitude as Portugal.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it is very bipolar. But to get to the actual content of the night, I want to really quickly go through some of the history of Yosemite. So I just pulled it up from Wikipedia because that's the easiest way to do this. I didn't need to sit and take notes on it. Like, this isn't my own analysis. But it's obviously in California, surrounded on the southeast by the Sierra National Forest and on the northwest by the Stanislaus National Forest. Park is managed by the Park Service and covers an area of 759,620 acres, or 1,187 square miles. I just really quickly want to pull something up.
Sure.
Countries with a square mileage under 2,000.
I think it's annoying that you need, like, a permit to go through it. I just saw that on Yosemite's website.
Yeah.
Dumb.
Because there are countries, if I'm not mistaken, that are smaller than Yosemite. So French Polynesia is smaller than Yosemite National Park. Cape Verde, Samoa, Luxembourg, Mauritius, Comoros, Hong Kong, Sao Tome and Principe, Kiribati, Dominica, Tonga, Bahrain, the Federated States of Micronesia, Singapore, Guam, Palau, Seychelles, I didn't even know half these countries existed, Cook Islands, the Marshall Islands, Liechtenstein, San Marino, Tuvalu, Monaco, Tokelau, Nauru, like... and it's only slightly smaller than Trinidad and Tobago and Brunei and about half the size of Puerto Rico. So
that's probably the most relevant because I feel like a lot of people aren't familiar with Tonga.
Yeah. So think about that. It's about half the size of Puerto Rico. That is huge.
Yep.
It is massive. It is. I believe it might be bigger than Rhode Island, actually. I think it is. I want to make sure I'm right about that, though. Yep. It's bigger than Rhode Island. So Yosemite is larger than the smallest U.S. state.
That's fun.
Like, that's fun. That is utterly insane. But I just wanted to give you guys an idea of the scale of what we're dealing with here in terms of a park. It sits in four counties. The most important one, the one we're talking about today, is Mariposa. I believe the Mariposa might be the county where John Garish and Ellen Chung died. I would look into that.
Yep.
It's a World Heritage Site. It is...
Yeah, it is.
So Mariposa County has some weird stuff going on, was the point of that. But we're talking about, it's central California, central eastern California, basically borders Nevada. And it is gorgeous. It is stunningly beautiful.
Yeah, it's latitudinally, like directly in line with San Francisco, essentially.
Yeah. So it is gorgeous place. It is one of the most visited parks in the world. It is like one of the gems of the country.
Yep.
And that is one of the things the United States is praised for around the world, is our national park system, because we really did it. We did a great job protecting these national wilderlands and landmarks. Mm-hmm. But in 1968, near Tenaya Peak, a body was found in a crevice with no signs of trauma. No signs of injury, just a body.
Yep.
Now, it had no identification.
Mm-hmm.
They could only tell that this was a man. And the cause of death, just not there. They just found this body.
Yep.
Based on that, you know, it didn't seem like he had injuries that would have prevented him from getting out of the crevice. So the only thing you can really think there is, you know, maybe heat stroke, poisoning... Was killed somewhere else and dumped there with toxins. There's any number of possibilities, but this becomes kind of the focal point of a number of disappearances, and we're going to talk about three of them today that are some of the more well-documented ones, but that's in 1968, and it's almost 10 years before another one that's significant comes up, and that's the case of Jeff Estes. Mm-hmm. And this is, by the way, it has a case number, because the National Park Service actually does keep a record of some missing persons cases, but not all of them, I guess. This is the part that bugs me, is this one's in 1976, and it has a case number. But they said they don't keep a record when Politis asked about Stacey Aris.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
So why is there a case number for this one and not for Stacey Aris? They clearly keep a list, and that list is not public, and that's why when Politis called and asked and said, hey, I want a list of missing persons, and they said, you need to pay us for it, and then he brought out the money, and they said, well, you're never getting the list. The list doesn't exist, but you're never getting the list. And he was like, does the list exist or not, guys? And then they hung up on him.
Naturally.
But yeah, so this is a National Park Service case NP19189993. And it's a pretty simple one in terms of the actual details, but it's the surrounding area that makes it strange, because Jeff was dropped off in Yosemite for a two-day solo hike, which might sound daunting, but here's the thing. It was May 24th, 1976, and he was a 25-year-old man. So you and I probably could handle a two-day solo hike.
Yeah.
And on top of that, the weather in Yosemite is mild, especially this time of year. We were dealing with an average high of 67 degrees and a low of 38. Well, that low is cold.
Yeah.
But it's also not, like...
If you're not prepared, you can get hypothermic, yeah. But, like...
Yeah, so again, like, if he had managed to get wildly off course or something, like, that would have been a problem.
Yeah.
Winds can reach up to 46 miles per hour, but they average about 10.
Okay.
So we're not, but what I mean to do here is point out, this is an extremely mild environment. It would be very hard to die of exposure.
Yeah.
Out here. Jeff was also 5'10", and he was 165 pounds. This was the 70s, so much less obesity. This guy's in good shape, solid build, average height, brown hair, which matched the style of the 70s, so like yours. He had green eyes, which is just about the only thing that made him look not average for the 70s. He had a mustache, and he was wearing blue jeans, a blue sweatshirt, and a baseball cap. This man was literally as nondescript as you can get.
Yeah, pretty much.
And he sets off from the juncture of Tioga Road and May Lake Road. Now, why is that significant? Tioga Road is also U.S. Highway 120, I believe. I've got it somewhere in here. I want to make sure that that's right. Yeah, Highway 120. May Lake Road shoots off of Tioga, and it leads basically due north to the May Lake Trailhead, which branches into three trails.
Okay.
One of those trails leads to May Lake, and it runs parallel to Snow Creek, which runs out of the lake. The farthest point between the trail and that creek is about a quarter of a mile.
Okay.
So if you're walking on the trail and you're going north.
Yep.
And you find yourself turned around and lost. You, first of all, can probably hear the creek.
Yeah.
Second of all, I assume he had a compass, but basically, in order to get lost, you would have to start heading east.
Yeah.
And within a quarter mile, you would know, I'm going the wrong direction. Because if you are off the trail, and you're not finding a creek, then you're going east. Because the trail runs north to south.
Yeah.
So again, the only way he could have gotten off the trail is to go east, and he should have known that he was off the trail at that point.
Yeah.
From the trailhead to the camp, how long do you think it would be?
What's the distance?
That's what I'm saying. How long do you think the trail is?
I mean, if it's a two-day hike from probably, I don't know, maybe max two, three miles?
Less than a mile from the trailhead to the camp. And this is a High Sierra camp, so there are just like with Sunrise from the Stacey Aris case.
Yeah,
there are like eight cabins that sleep 35 people.
Got it. Okay. Yep.
Less than a mile from the trailhead to the camp, with a creek on one side, within view of the trail.
Yeah.
And you're going uphill.
Yep.
So all you have to do to orient yourself here is, what time of day is it? Where is the sun? Well, maybe I can't see the sun. Maybe it's cloudy. All right. Well, am I going up or down? If I'm going down, I'm going the wrong way.
Yep.
All right, is there a creek directly in front of me? If not, I'm going the wrong way. So there's all these places, all these ways to orient yourself.
Yep.
On top of this, the total distance from the point where he got off of Tioga
yep.
to Mae Lake Camp, mm-hmm. just 2.66 miles. And 1.66 miles of those
yep.
are along a road. Now, it's not the best road in the world. It's gravel.
But it's a road.
But it's a road. You can't get off of it. Like, there's no way to accidentally get off of this road.
Yeah.
You would have to deliberately leave.
Yeah.
And the other two trails lead back down to a parking lot on Tioga. It's basically all south, and it's downhill. And the other one leads southeast towards Tenaya Lake, which is only a few miles away.
Yeah.
So, really, under no circumstances could he have gotten lost. He did not make it to Mae Lake.
In no way could he have gotten lost.
He got lost. Yeah.
Naturally.
So, he doesn't make it to Mae Lake. And they do search for him, mm-hmm. but they don't find anything.
Yeah.
Now, is it possible that he crossed the creek and they lost his scent and couldn't find him after that? Yeah. But why would he cross the creek? Then he would know that he was going the wrong way.
Yeah.
So there's really only so many places he could have ended up.
Mm-hmm.
How far can you really walk? Off a trail? In a national park? I mean,
also, like, how far would you really want to walk?
Exactly, because you get far enough, you're going to know that you're off course.
Yeah.
So what really happened here? We don't know. Case is considered cold, and he was never seen or heard from, and, you know, he's just presumed dead. That was not the last one, because Stacy Aris, in 1981, who we've covered, on a multi-day mm-hmm. horseback riding trip with her father, and a number of people, they get to Sunrise High Sierra Camp. I think it was around, we said, what, early afternoon?
I think so, yeah.
It was early afternoon. I don't remember the details off the top of my head. Mm. Early afternoon, they arrive at Sunrise High Sierra Camp. She gets changed, you know, cleans up a little bit, tells her dad, hey, I'm going to go for a hike down to take some pictures of the lake. She brings her camera. He tells her, hey, you should probably switch out of your flip-flops into mm-hmm. sneakers. She does. This older guy whose name is up in the air, and they don't know how old he actually was, and there's a lot of questions about it. He goes in, he goes halfway down with her, and then decides, I'm too tired, I'm going to stop, come back whenever. Asks the people who are coming up the trail a few hours later if they've seen her. They haven't. They launch this extensive search. Dogs can't find her. Granted, it's a German Shepherd, not bloodhounds, but dogs can't find her. The National Park Service has, like, no available information. They stonewalled Politis when he asked about it. There's a weird thing where a lot of the stories mention that they found her camera lens cap, but I couldn't find that in any official or news report.
Okay.
So I don't know how much I believe that one. I feel like that might have been an added detail to maybe make people think that something weird happened. We're talking about a time where you didn't have cell phones, but you did have walkie-talkies. Nobody knows what happened to Stacy.
No.
There was not a trace of her. No clothes, no shoes, no nails, like no hair.
Yep.
They never found anything at all matching her. Also, he said, name's Athian. I had some experience with demonic forces. I will get to that by the end of the show, I promise you. I have it pulled up right now. I'll go pull that exact one up. But yeah, Stacy just never, ever, ever turns up. There were some weird things that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, I think the fire watch part of the service was doing some sort of training exercise and mm-hmm. didn't let the search and rescue teams know, and they almost had helicopters hit each other. But that's not really...
That's just incompetence. Related.
That's just incompetence. That's not the same thing.
Yeah.
Nothing is ever found of Stacy, and the National Park Service, despite the fact that the case is completely cold, refuses to let private investigators see any of the information.
Yeah.
Going so far as to say that those records don't exist, and then claiming that you can't have the list, which apparently exists. How do I know it exists? Because I found case numbers from the National Park Service. The Department of Justice actually does now have their own site that does list certain missing persons cases from the national parks,
yep.
but they're not quite the same. It's not the National Park Service doing it.
Yeah.
And then we've got the case of Timothy Barnes. This one's 1988.
Okay.
Timothy was 6'4", was 180 pounds, was 24, with dark brown hair and brown eyes.
Mm-hmm.
He was a resident of Rancho Cucamonga, which is in California. and he was camping with some buddies at Tenaya Lake. Now, Tenaya Lake is a couple miles southeast of May Lake, and it is, I believe, a few miles northwest, if I'm remembering correctly, mm-hmm. of Sunrise High Sierra Camp, which is where Stacy Aris went missing. Jeff Estes went missing over by May Lake. This is Tenaya Lake, mm-hmm. and Stacy was Sunrise Lakes.
Yep.
So, little bit of a cluster here. We're, you know, looking at an arc of maybe 7 miles. Timothy set off on a day hike to Polydome Lakes, which is north of Tenaya Lakes, mm-hmm. via the Murphy Creek Trail, which, as you can imagine, runs alongside Murphy Creek. So there is one point at which you cross the creek. Mm-hmm. But the entire way you're going up here, the creek is either directly on your left or directly on your right. And it's not a quarter mile. It's like right there.
Like right there, yeah.
Several yards. So, again, really no way to get lost unless you're completely incompetent.
Yeah.
It's about 2.1 miles long, and it starts on Highway 120 on Tioga, just northwest of the lake, like literally on the lake. And the trail itself, 2.1 miles to the lakes. Granted, it is a miracle that he was able to do this hike because he had a orthopedic pin in his ankle. I don't know how you hike with that.
I mean, if it's done right, I guess, but that's less than ideal to say the
least.
Yeah,
like, I wonder why his friends let him go off alone. That's weird.
Yeah.
I would not let my friend with a orthopedic pin in his ankle go hiking alone, especially in a place where people have gone missing in the last 6 years. But they were expecting Timothy to go on his day hike up to the lakes. Again, 2 miles. This should reasonably take you less than 2 hours to do the entire trip.
Yeah.
Still would be reasonable to say it's going to take you up to 5 hours round trip.
Yeah.
Especially if you're stopping to sightsee, if you're stopping for a snack.
Yep.
You meet somebody along the way.
Yep.
You know, you want to draw something.
Yeah.
But still, that is a day hike. Yep. That is not a long trip at all.
It's not an overnight deal.
You and I have done hikes that long in like an hour and a half over in Valley Forge.
Yep.
So, not a big deal, this hike. He did not return that day. He had left at 9 a.m. And by the time it was getting dark, he was not back. Talking about July 5th, 1988. This is the longest part of the year. This guy probably had a solid 12 hours from the time he left to the time the sun was going down.
Yeah. Yeah.
It should not take you that long.
Yeah, sun sets about that time of year, assuming latitude's roughly similar in that relation.
It's going to be sunset about 9 p.m.
Yeah, 8:30, 9 p.m.
So he should have had daylight at least till 9 p.m.
Yeah.
And again, up at Polydome Lakes, there's not a campsite, there's a picnic area.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a spot to sit there, and if you're having trouble getting back, you feel like you can't, you could sit there and wait.
Yep.
And the thing was, all he had to do, if he did get up there, he made it to Polydome Lakes, all he had to do was stay there.
Yeah.
Because his friends knew where he was going. But he doesn't come back. They do not report him missing that night.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe they figure he decided to camp. There's not a ton of details about this case to be found, unfortunately. This is the unfortunate part about the 80s cases. It's just that there's not a ton of info on him.
I would imagine.
And I don't like to use Politis' research, because to be honest, it can kind of sometimes leave out facts. So for all of these, and we've gotten some comments on some of these, some of our Missing 411 videos where people say, you really should credit David Politis. You know, he's the one doing the research for these. I don't use Politis' research.
Nope. We've kind of made it a point, just for the sake of, honestly, some respect in the sense of, like, we don't want to just plagiarize other people's hard work. And plus, I mean, there's no better source than the primary source. And sometimes we've seen that either conflicting things have appeared in other people's research, or, like he just mentioned, some facts that we deem important are left out in other people's research.
Yeah.
And look, editorializing is something that journalists have to do no matter what. You can't give every fact in a story. You have to decide, you know, which facts really make sense, which facts, you know, don't for the story. So, like, if somebody said that, let's say there's the missing person story, and within the context of that story, there's like 5 pages of preamble about what they got at a clothing store 2 days prior. They didn't even take any of those clothes on the trip. It's just a recount of that. You would leave that out because it's not actually important to the missing person story. And then, obviously, that's a extreme example, but
yeah.
The fact of the matter is that there are certain things that you have to leave out for brevity.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, there's, you know, I think that one of the differences between our channel in terms of how we approach this material is that we approach it as researchers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is an investigation for us. Yeah. I'm going to look at this case and look at the facts and see if I can come up with a theory.
Yep.
And I would love to go test these theories if we ever get the funding to do so. But a lot of channels, and this is not any shade to anybody because it's just different styles of content.
Yeah.
A lot of channels will sit there and they'll just read the story.
Yeah.
And they're just doing storytelling, and that's totally fine. Mr. Ballin has made himself one hell of a career being a storyteller.
Yep.
And storytelling is important and it's great entertainment. It's different from what we do, and that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, but that's also why we are very like specific. Yet we don't use David Blaise's research.
Yeah.
We use our own. And sometimes, you know, there's probably going to be cases where he had access to information that we don't.
Yep.
But at the same time, I would rather fail on my own flaws than on someone else's.
Yep.
So, and that kind of mindset started because originally we were just doing these based on his research.
Mm-hmm.
And then things started to crop up here and there, especially in June once we went up to New York.
Yeah.
When we went up to New York to research the Tom Messick case,
mm-hmm.
we got a lot of conflicting information.
Yep.
So that made me look at the David Politis stuff and be like, all right, so he's got his theories, he's got his message, but it's a message. It's not necessarily what we want to do. So that's kind of what I think differentiates us at that point.
Yep.
But yeah, so, oh, I also forgot to mention Timothy had a Marlboro addiction. He was a smoker.
Yep.
But it was also the 80s, so.
Yeah.
Everyone and their mother and their daughter and son and babies were smoking.
Yep.
I think I've smoked maybe 5 cigarettes in my life. One of them was your fault.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, to be fair, you didn't. Not only did you not smoke that actually, but you also weren't quite sure how to even get it lit.
I was totally failing to light it.
Yep. Context, this was for, it was a prop for a music video that we were shooting senior year of high school. Yeah, for, it was my senior project. And it was just something that I had written as for the character to do. And it took a while for us to get that damn thing even.
I did not know how to light a cigarette.
Nope.
It was a little rough. I know now. I still struggle to light cigars. I have a hard time lighting cigars.
You should use a match for those to begin with.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's a lot more effort that goes into that. Anyway.
Yeah, but getting back along to the story, Timothy does not get back that day. It's just over 4 miles, the entire hike.
Yeah.
Hiking 4 miles an hour is a lot. That's probably not going to happen.
That's probably going to average.
2 miles an hour?
Yeah.
That's pretty average.
Yeah.
1 mile an hour, slow, but still going to get you that whole trip in just 4 hours.
Yeah.
There is no reason that he should not have made it back to camp by dinner time.
No.
So, questionable why they decided not to report it until the next morning, but again, there's details that we might not have. Maybe he said he might camp. Maybe he said, if I'm not back by morning, you never know. Also, they may have decided that night to report him and couldn't find a ranger. The ranger said, oh, let's wait until the morning. Like, there's a number of things that could have happened.
Yep.
Or there's also the possibility that they were involved.
Yep.
And they made him disappear. These are all totally plausible things, because given, you know, if you did want to make your friend disappear, starting it, not telling everybody, he started his hike at 9 a.m., we haven't seen him since, gives you a lot of headway to hide a body.
Yeah.
Not saying that happened. I'm just saying, you know, there's possibilities for these things, and we have to acknowledge them.
Fair.
But still, they started looking for him the next day. And according to the Department of Justice, there was actually an extensive search. They didn't give a ton of details on what that entails, but based on other extensive searches, probably dogs, at least several dozen searchers, if not a few hundred. And then on top of that, probably, you know, aerial searches.
Yep.
I'd be very surprised if there was not a helicopter involved in this. But again, law enforcement does not take missing adults super seriously. They will look, but they don't waste resources on it. So,
is there I know for certain jurisdictions,
unless there's foul play suspected.
No, what I'm more specifically wondering is, I know certain jurisdictions, it has to be at least 24 hours since they were supposed to be back,
mm-hmm.
that you can declare them as missing persons, but
yeah.
I'm wondering if that's a general standard, or
I don't
if that
think
changes
it's a general
jurisdiction.
In fact, I've heard that's a myth.
Really?
Yeah, that you can report someone missing. But, like, the police might not take it as seriously, but,
well, yeah, but
I think it's that they're required to take it seriously after 24 hours,
yeah.
but you can report whenever you want. They just might not. take it seriously if it's only been, if you're like, oh my god, my husband's 20 minutes late, he's missing, like, that's, they're gonna be like, ma'am, please wait another 20 minutes. But yeah, similar to Jeff's route, like I said, it was adjacent to a creek the entire way. Would have been very difficult to get lost. And with this one specifically, there are creeks, trails, and a highway ringing this area in within 2 miles in any direction. You cannot go more than 2 miles in any direction from any point on this trail without running into another trail, creek, or road.
Mm-hmm.
So he would have had to have gotten lost within that area and stayed there.
Yeah.
Or he would have had to deliberately leave. Why would he deliberately leave? Really, no information on that. But it makes you wonder about this area, about this cluster, about why the National Park Service is so reluctant to go into detail on any of this.
Yep.
And that's what we want to be doing with Into Thin Air, of course, is we want to get funding for that, you know, maybe a TV deal so that we can actually go in and do the due diligence on these cases and, you know, go in. Because obviously, I'm very superstitious. I believe in all sorts of weird stuff.
Yep.
You're less so, but...
Less so, yeah.
You know, for me, I'm happy to go into it and say, yeah, maybe it was Bigfoot. But I'm also going to look at it and say, oh, well, you know, here's where this one person was last seen alive, and here's a shell casing, so...
Well, I mean, the math checks out.
Yeah, so. Exactly. You know, like, if we had been able to get to Lily Pond Road.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, I know, branding. It was for the aesthetic. I know.
Next time.
If there had been a parking lot, it would have been fine. For those who don't get what we're saying, if you haven't seen Into Thin Air, it's our documentary on the Tom Messick case.
Yep.
We took his car because we were going for a supernatural vibe, and he drives a black Camaro. I drive a white Jeep Wrangler.
You know... They never had problems having to go off-road.
I wonder if that's because it was fiction.
I wonder if it's because they never had to go up, like, hiking trails.
I mean, they did. They just hiked them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the second episode of the show.
We could have done that?
If there was anywhere to park. There was nowhere to park. And it's also an area that, like, we were outsiders in, you know? Yeah. Like, we didn't really want to intrude and just park on the side of the road or...
It wasn't like at a national park where they have like a parking area and you can just go and trail hike somewhere. It was like a private road.
It was almost a dirt road that leads over. It goes over towards an old sawmill.
Though. Yeah. So, you know, it was essentially an industrial road that hadn't been used heavily in several decades. And
yeah. Thanks, Ed Nassily. We're glad you think the stories are boring. That's cool. Like I just said, we're not storytellers, we're researchers. So, if you don't enjoy it and you want the storytelling version, go to Mr. Ballin. That's what he does. I appreciate the view, but we also have story time, which is where we actually do storytelling. This is just more of a...
Yeah, research discussion, essentially.
Yeah, we discuss research in an academic context. Yeah. Like, that's what the show is. That's what the show's always been. And Archie's over in the corner. Hi, buddy. But that basically takes us to the end of the stories for today, because, again, like I said, there's not a ton of details on this one, unfortunately. It's a weird cluster. It's a weird set of disappearances with a number of similar characteristics. I don't want to go into the missing 411 profile on this one, because there's, like, it's like, the more we research these cases, the more I look at that profile, and I'm like, this is just, like, grabbing a bunch of random shit on a scatter plot to see if you can make a line.
Well, there's got to be some way.
If you found a way to quantify this stuff and put it on a scatter plot,
yeah, it'd just be all
just
over.
Draw a line. Yeah.
Well, it'd be great if there could be a way to just like scale it down, essentially.
All the flavors in the world, and he chose to be salty. Also, did you just call me woke? My brother in Christ, do you know who I am?
Oh, boy.
I will say, because I did want to apologize for last weekend, I did have a little bit of an outburst.
It was a 9/11 memorial segment, so, like, I understand.
But I also know that people watch this show, you know, sometimes with their kids.
Yes.
And I think we generally do a very good job of keeping it clean.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
You know, it's definitely more of a PG-13 show, I think, but
a lot of the time it's PG.
Yeah, I tell people to be safe, you know, that
yeah,
I would rate this
PG-13.
But like
that was an R segment.
you know, that if you pop into somebody's 9/11 memorial segment on 9/11 to make fun of their height, like,
it's just like, it's one of those things where it's like just time and place.
Yeah.
Because like, we don't,
I would not have responded that way if he did it right now.
Yeah.
I would have been like, okay, whatever, I'll just ignore it. But, yeah. You know.
It wasn't that it was disrespectful to you or the show. It was disrespectful to the people we were taking the time to remember, which is, you know, an entirely different story.
Yeah. But let's, yeah, Ed, 186 people. How many does your podcast get?
That's the thing with this guy, is that you don't want to start a war with him because he will finish it.
Listen, my stepdad, can be very mean, and I learned from him, not from him being mean to me, but from...
Just like, yeah.
Him being mean to people who definitely was warranted from.
Yeah. I'm a bit more of a pacifist, turn the other cheek kind of person, and he's like that enough of the time, but there are plenty of times where it's just like, no.
I was raised to be a little on the fiery side.
Yeah.
But all right, so I want to start off, we're getting to the Q&A section now. So yes. To remind everybody, we do have this handy little number up here now at the top of the screen on the upper right, where you can see what the Super Chat total for the month is. So you know how far into the donation goals we are, which means that we are about $15 from hitting the Blue Snow Shovel self-defense course, which I really want you guys to hit, because I want to do that. I think that would be really funny. So
I want it, you want it, we all want it.
Yeah. I knew it. You know
it. Huh? I knew you were going to do that.
Yeah. At 750, we will write and record a Wendigo trial skit in the style of My Cousin Vinny.
Okay, here's the thing. I don't even know exactly how we're going to do that yet.
So what we're going to do is we're going to put the Wendigo on trial, and I'm going to pretend to be from Brooklyn. And then I'm gonna interrogate this man-beast, this
demonic
entity.
But then who's going to be the Wendigo?
That was more Jersey.
A little bit, yeah. I was kind of going for the like North Jersey vibe.
I don't know. We're going to have to find somebody to be a Wendigo. Norman.
True. I was just going to say Archie, but...
Oh, yeah, Archie can be the Wendigo.
Well, no, he's the Skinwalker defense lawyer.
Yeah, and for $1,000, we will shoot the Halloween-themed sexy calendar. So...
Please don't.
That's,
Please don't.
Also, I'm glad you think that the outburst last week was warranted, guys.
We appreciate that.
That makes me happy. I try not to scream expletives during shows, but I...
He really holds it in a lot.
What the is up, Denny's? Like, you know.
That video is insane.
Yeah. But I want to start off this Q&A section. Send in super chats now if you have questions. We'll get to those first, and we'll answer as many non-super chats as we can when we have time. We're going to end the show around 8 p.m. tonight because we still have to shoot, and then we got to catch House of the Dragon at 9. I hope you guys are watching because it actually is very good. I was worried. And it turned out way better than I had expected, so...
If we wanted to do... If people have an interest in a season one of House of Dragon review at some point, where we discuss just, like, as a
I'd be happy to do that with the lore and everything, too.
Yeah, I think it'd be really fun.
So, but yeah, to get into this, I'm going to start with Super Industries' question that he sent into the Patreon. Okay. That's something I'm just going to start doing. I'm just going to check this every week now and answer everything. So if you definitely want me to answer something, send it on Patreon. You can subscribe for $1 and I'll check it. I've got a bunch of you that I've got to respond to now that I'm looking through here. Good Lord. We also still owe people thank you notes. We got to get better at that.
Mm. We are trying to like get a better organization. It's just a matter of like, there's so much.
All right, I'm going to leave out certain parts of this, Athian. I'm just going to read it in my head and give people the details, just because I can see that some of it's personal. But went through some stuff, since realized there are definitely demons and God is real. The reason people go insane from eating people is because of stem cells that are in the spine that can be released with certain posture and spiritual bracing. But arrogance and trauma tend to cause a negative feedback loop. Think about the golden ratio. Humans were created by different beings that called on God's power, like Jehovah or Maui for the Polynesians. We have to make our neck and body strong so we can allow the Holy Spirit or stem cells in egghead terms to make us like Samson. If a man goes to the wild, he's going to adapt in real time to be a wild man or a Wendigo. Because of this, and demons tend to try to enter people from the bottom chakra, which is the biggest sign of demonic thought. You're unloading a lot of shit on me that I was not prepared to read right now. There's a lot going on here. I respect it. I'm not saying I disagree with you. I'm just like, it's a lot to take in.
The primary literature I'm going to need to see is on the stem cell spinal column relationship.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested to look into where you're coming from with this. This is why prison functions how it does. It's an instinctual response to break someone's will after having your will broken and breaking your flow of energy. I smelled death on me for a while and realized why I was afraid to sleep. So to explain giants and shapeshifters, ask yourself how they've become that. Yes. So I definitely agree with a lot of your premise here. Not sure if I agree with all the details, but that's because there's a lot of details. But there are a number of reasons that people would go insane from eating human beings. One of those is prion disease, which I think is probably along the same lines as what you're suggesting.
Yep.
Prions are, I don't totally understand how it works, but the way prion diseases work is that it infects you and it starts to eat away at your nervous system and your brain tissue.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it does it in a way that it doesn't kill you. At least not for a long time.
It's almost a parasitic kind
of... Yeah, I'll pull it up. Prion disease, so I can explain it better.
Thanks, Kate.
Prions occur when normal prion protein found on the surface of many cells becomes abnormal and clump in the brain, causing brain damage. There we go. This abnormal accumulation of protein in the brain can cause memory impairment, personality changes, and difficulties with movement. So it's a buildup of the wrong kind of thing in the wrong place, basically. Yeah.
Also, really quickly, can we take a hot second? Will S for $5 said, if someone donates $50 in the next 10 minutes, I'll go scream insults at the Bone Tree and post a video on TikTok.
Don't do that.
Don't scream at the Bone Tree.
How many times do I have to tell you not to fuck with the Bone Tree?
We've been over this. Will.
You're not supposed to mess with the Bone Tree, Will.
The amount of times that we have covered the Bone Tree issue where we have said, please do not.
Not mess with the Bone Tree.
We want to see evidence of the Bone
Don't
Tree.
Don't bother the Bone Tree,
but
my guy.
Don't mess with the Bone Tree.
Yeah, I'm going to see if I can find that email really quick.
For those who are new or newer and are not familiar with the Bone Tree issue...
Oh, I found the Bone Tree.
There's a Bone Tree, and we're going to give you the context.
Yes, so here's the context of the Bone Tree. According to Will... He said he works at a paintball field, so we've got a decent stretch of woods that are pretty untouched. The Bone Tree in question is a massive oak tree, probably a good 6 feet wide or more. There was a circle of bones around it when we first moved in. After we moved those bones, this is why I said don't touch the bones around the Bone Tree, Will.
Because I'm fairly certain that in a super chat you said there's a big bone tree, when we were like, what does that mean? And you were like, there's a tree with a bunch of bones around it.
We were like, don't touch the bones. And then you
touched the bones. And we were like, why did you touch the bones? This is a whole thing. Anyway.
Yeah. Yes, J.D. Petty, they are mad cow disease and CWD are also prion diseases. Chronic wasting disease is terrifying, and it's spreading at a very rapid rate among the North American deer population.
Is it really?
Yes. And you can also get it from eating deer that are infected with prion diseases.
Awesome.
But only, it's like if you improperly cook them. Like, it's not just eating, it's going to kill you. But, but if you see deer with chronic wasting disease, they'll be walking around with, like, their jaw missing and, you know, gashes in their side. Like, they look like zombies because they have no real control. There's also funguses that do this to ants and beetles where they'll infect it and control the central nervous system. So you have a bug that's dead but alive. It's
weird.
It's really terrifying stuff.
Zombies are real.
And I will say, you know, a lot of the stuff that we chalk up to being paranormal does end up being stuff that's very, like, explainable.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, when I talk about paranormal stuff, I'm not saying that there's never any opportunity for this stuff to be proven.
Yeah.
I'm just saying we don't understand what it is.
Yeah.
Paranormal means something that science has yet to explain. It doesn't mean something that is beyond explanation. It just means something which is as of yet unknown.
Yeah, we just don't have the knowledge or the context as of yet to be able to properly articulate what it actually is.
For example, the one hypothesis I have that demonic possession manifests as schizophrenia.
Mm.
Like, then that maybe lithium prevents demonic possession.
Mm.
Not saying that that's completely true, but I'm saying that's like... we live in a natural world with natural laws. If God created a natural world with natural laws, then ostensibly he would have to work within them.
Yeah.
You know, an omnipotent being could theoretically limit itself.
True.
So after they moved the bones, shit started happening. Not much for the first year or two, but in February of 2021, things escalated. I saw this skinny, creepy thing on the side of the road. Joe Biden?
Careful.
He's skinny and creepy.
Careful.
He sniffs kids. He does.
Careful.
You've seen the videos of him sniffing kids.
Careful.
I wouldn't be surprised if Bush also sniffed kids. They all knew Epstein.
Which one?
I don't know. Probably both.
Mm-hmm.
Probably about 4 to 5 feet tall. Can't be Biden. Danny DeVito?
He's not skinny.
He's not skinny. Probably about 4 to 5 foot tall on all fours. Oh. Wait, okay, here. I'm 5'9", so on all fours. That's scary. I don't like that.
Holy shit.
I don't like that.
No.
Yeah, so legs way longer than they should have been. Movements didn't match what its body was doing. And then something was stalking around my house for a day or two. Other people in town had weird shit, too. That's because you moved the bones from the bone tree, Will. Animals freaking out randomly, voices trying to coax you into the woods, just not good stuff. A week after that, we watched something in the field drag a deer 200 feet and then tear it in half. We have video of what's left of the deer. It didn't eat it, by the way, just killed it. Can you send me the video?
Why did you not send the video?
I need the video of the deer being, not being ripped in half, but I need the video of the deer pieces, you know? But, we thought it was a coyote and a turkey at first, so whatever.
He knows the bone creature.
No, he's just the trash man.
He would absolutely play the bone creature.
Oh my god.
Are you kidding me? If you handed Danny DeVito a script and say, here, we want you to play the bone man, he would be like, hell yes, I will be the bone man.
If he lubed up and got himself out of a couch naked in Always Sunny, he was willing to do anything.
I cannot believe that is a network TV show.
I know! Who let that happen?
Yeah, so, anyway, whatever that creature was, it dwarfed this deer. Wisconsin has bears, but they're way too far south for that, and a wolf is too small. After seeing all of this, the woods just got worse. If you get near the tree, it's dead. It's dead silent. It feels like you're being watched, and you'll hear something big darting through the underbrush. We've seen human-like figures lurking in the woods and disappearing randomly. Our manager saw it first. After that, he and his family were having daily nightmares of red eyes coming through the tree line. A quote of what he said, back in late June, I walked out to the tree and hammered seven iron nails into the tree in the shape of a cross and blessed the ground at the base of the tree with holy water. Finally, I poured a salt in a circle around the tree. Since then, he says the nightmares are gone, but weird shit is still happening. Last Monday, I jokingly went, what's up, flesh pedestrian, while standing in the tree line, and next thing I knew, a 6-foot tree was moving because something ran past it.
Apparently they're now self-aware of the terminology that we created.
So yeah, we're having a great time up here in Wisconsin. Would love to hear what you say about this shit. So, yeah. Okay, so Will, put the bones back, my guy. The bones were there for a reason.
Did you not give us an update last time that you put the bones back? Or, because there was an update before today's update about the bone tree. It was like a month or two ago.
Yeah, I forget what the update was. Will, if you want to toss it back in. And Cakes for $4.99 says, I've been going through it lately, but you boys have been keeping me sane. Thank you both so much. Well, we're glad to be helpful.
Thanks, Cakes.
It means a lot. I'm glad that you're enjoying what we do and that it brings some life to the day.
We would do this even if there wasn't an audience, so we're just glad that it can be enjoyed by anybody.
Yeah, this is basically just what we used to like talk about.
Yeah.
We should just sit around and shoot the shit.
It'd really just be like him researching some of this stuff and me just asking questions because I found it interesting.
Yeah, it's...
So.
Noah Isaac for 5 said, yo, Aidens, I'd love to see an episode based on cryptids or missing 411 based in Illinois if there aren't any major enough for a good video. I will look into Illinois, yeah.
Sure.
I'm sure that we can find Illinois folklore and cryptids and all that. That shouldn't be a problem. Missing 411 might be a little bit more difficult.
Yeah. Not. I mean, Illinois is pretty flat and... Not a whole lot.
Yeah, we'll have to take a look at it and see what we get.
It's not like flat.
Let's see.
It's not like West Kansas flat.
What else we got in here? Normal Tuesday night for Danny DeVito. Yeah, basically. You agitated the flesh pedestrian. That would appear to be the case. No, my manager threw the bones. You threw the bones away? Bro, you got to put more bones around that tree. Possibly your manager's bones. please don't kill your manager. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, you'll need new bones.
Don't kill the manager. Do find new bones, though. I hope that there is not some form of ritual that existed prior to your knowledge follow.
Were they human bones? Animal bones?
I'm going to assume animal bones, right?
I hope they're animal bones. Also, Shadow Wolf, we have done a few videos that involve Michigan, like the Dogman video we have.
Yeah.
Check that one out. That one's definitely about Michigan.
Yep.
We're working our way through all 50 states right now. I'm doing for our folklore videos that come out once a month, because now we've broken it up. We do a haunting video, we do a folklore video, a missing 411 video, and a cult video.
Yep.
the folklore ones, we're just going to go through some of the main ones from each of the United States, and then we're going to move over into Europe, and then make our way down into Africa, and probably eventually Asia, as well as South America. So, yes, we've talked about the squonk a number of times.
The squonk?
Yeah, the squonk.
Which one's the squonk?
Squonk's the one that, upon being perceived, it melts into a pool of tears.
Oh, right, I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
Our favorite.
Yeah, it's the one that hates its appearance.
Oh, what so much that it me melts. Too.
Oh, sacrifice the manager. Dog man. Is it a dog-like man or a man-like dog? It's a dog-like man, which I have theorized could have something to do with interactions between the Huron and the Inuit, because the Inuit have the Adlit, which is a dog man, which comes from a very interesting... There's a very interesting story behind the Adlit. It's that a young woman in Greenland... doesn't want a young Inuit woman in Greenland doesn't want to get married to a man, so she marries a dog, and they have kids, and half the kids turn out white, like Caucasian, and go east, which sounds to me like a much later retelling of the story of the Vikings leaving. And then, and the Vikings also, of course, did have their Ulfhednar, which were people who would wear wolf skins and, you know, do mushrooms and then go into combat. That's a thing. That's a real thing that happened.
Oh, sounds like a history hut to me.
But yeah, so, and then the dog people go over onto the mainland, into Canada. And there's a number of tribes that have stories regarding the dogmen. And, you know, there's also some social and cultural stuff there, like referring to tribes that they considered less civilized than themselves as being dog-like. In order, basically, as a way to look down on them and suggest they were subhuman.
Yeah.
So, remember, kids, everyone's been racist at some point.
every culture has been
every culture has been racist at some point. Yes. You know, or at least, like, has significant in-group bias.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's just a psychological fact. Well, very, very strongly regarded theory that has a lot of supporting evidence.
What was it?
In-group bias and tribalism and things like that, yeah.
Sorry, I was looking
at that. Because I called it a fact, but it's not a fact. It's just a very strongly and highly regarded theory. my psych minor and my mother with a master's in psychology really coming in clutch there. We got two more super chats. I don't know if you
want to look at them. Wait, can you read them?
They've gone away.
Oh. In Illinois, there is a mountainous national park in the southern part of the state, plus the Cahokia Mounds and Seven Gates of Hell. I do think the Cahokia Mounds are really interesting, and I want to do a video on them anyway. I haven't gotten around to it. Seven Gates of Hell, I've also heard of. As far as the national park goes, I will definitely look into that one, because there's almost certainly a weird disappearance there, because national parks just kind of have those.
Dry chicken. Do we know Critical, and would we go on his podcast? Number one.
Would we go on his podcast? Yes. Yes. Do we know him? No. Are we one degree of separation away from him?
Of course we know him. It's Critical.
I know. I meant, like, we don't know him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, no. I thought you meant just, like, in general. Like, yeah, no, of course we know.
We would absolutely go on that podcast. And I know Wendigoon's been on it.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, so we're one degree of separation from a lot of people via Wendigoon.
Yeah. I'm also the same height as Charlie.
That's really... We should have you fight.
That'd be hilarious.
I want to see a boxing match between you and Charlie.
Down.
That would be really funny.
Yeah, no, I've been...
All right, you heard it. You heard it, Charlie. You heard it right here. You probably didn't hear it. I can't imagine
there's
you're watching
no
this.
Shot
but if this somehow makes its way to you, we want you to fight Aiden.
I mean, I think it'd be good entertainment for the masses. I don't think I quite qualify for Creator Bash or whatever the fuck that...
I don't think either of us do.
Yeah, no, not even close. Wendigoon does, though. No.
Yeah.
So...
What do you have to have, a million?
Probably like 300k plus.
Yeah,
I don't know. I feel like 100k is like you're starting to be a real, like, 50k you're starting to be a real channel. 100k, like, you're okay, you're in it. Like 250 to 300, it's like, okay, you're like a respectable channel now. Million plus.
One thing we are working on with Wendigoon, I don't have a release date for this yet, but we're going to be doing a video on giants. North American, South American, and in Jewish folklore. So we're going to be doing a video about, like, the giants of Patagonia, the Site Ka, and the Rephaim. So we're going to do an encompassing video on, like, the similarities and the differences and where they come from in mythology, like, you know, what's the path of descent? How do you get the Sika Ka? How do you get the Patagonian giants? Which the Patagonian giants are probably just very large human beings. But the Sita Ka might be something different. The Rephaim seem to have been humans who were very large, so we're going to be doing a lot of that. But yeah, he and I talked about it, and we're going to be doing a video on that. I'm really excited for it. Let's see. Spring-heeled Jack. What are we looking at? Aren't dog people just furries? Why? Speaking of local cryptids, have you guys heard of Snipes? I feel like I have.
Yeah, you've heard of Snipes. Going on a snipe hunt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a while, but...
Yeah.
Oh, and Plaz has a 7-month member message up there somewhere. Let's go find it. Oh, there it is. Y'all familiar with the Red Book of Westmarch, the alleged source of Tolkien's world? There's a conspiracy theory that it contains real history. I have heard of it. I don't have nice things to say. I haven't read through the full thing. I just know that suggesting that Tolkien's story in Lord of the Rings is supposed to be real history is so absurd. Partially because when, you know, a lot of people will come up with something like that who aren't historians or theologians, and then when you are both of those things, like,
yeah,
even though theology for me is more of a passion project and not a profession, like, a lot of Tolkien stuff comes from Judeo-Christian stories. A lot of it is adapted into this other world. Tolkien was a devout Catholic. So, I mean, there's just no chance that, no. But I should cover that. Oh, my gosh. Ooh.
Yep. We should probably get that video filmed.
Yes, we should do that. But I did really quickly, though, want to talk about just last thing here. Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, which is a human prion disease. It is a neurodegenerative disorder with characteristic clinical and diagnostic features. This disease is rapidly progressive and always fatal. Infection with this disease usually leads to death within 1 year of the onset of illness. Mm-hmm. Rapidly progressive, invariably fatal neurodegenerative disorder believed to be caused by an abnormal isoform of cellular glycoprotein known as the prion protein. Creutzfeldt-Jakob occurs worldwide, and the estimated annual incidence in many countries, including the United States, has been reported to be about 1 case per million population. Which means that approximately 350 people in the United States a year get Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. It is not related to mad cow disease, and it's also distinct from variant CJD that is related to BSC. I think that's mad cow. Variant is a prion disease that was first described in 1996 in the Yukon in the United Kingdom. There is now strong scientific evidence that the agent responsible for the outbreak of prion disease in cows, bovine spongiform encephalopathy, mad cow disease, is the same agent responsible for the outbreak of variant Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. So Creutzfeldt-Jakob itself is not actually related to mad cow, but variant Creutzfeldt-Jakob is. I don't know how the hell you get it. How do you get... Oh, wow. I don't like that. Google just autofilled. How do you get I typed how do you, and autofilled. Can be transmitted from affected person to others, but only through an injection or consuming infected brain or nervous tissue.
Oh, that makes sense.
Well, that kind of creates another question.
Which is?
How are 350 people a year getting Creutzfeldt-Jakob? Are 350 people a year eating? Oh, through an injection. So, so probably needle sharing.
Yep.
Don't do drugs, but more importantly, if you do drugs, don't share needles.
Or just, like, try and avoid ones with needles in general? Or if you can't avoid them at all, just...
Yeah. The bone tree was in Wisconsin, Wesley.
Yes.
What do we got here?
Judas Goat Barbecue. That's incredible.
That is one hell of a name.
For $10. There are also legends of giants in ancient times on the island of Malta.
Adding Malta to the list of things to look at. I know that also, Sardinia and Corsica also have some very interesting ancient stories.
Huh.
Natalie, you're back just in time for the show to end.
Great timing.
But I'm looking up at that number. We did hit $500, so you guys are going to be getting your Blue Snow Shovel self-defense course.
I've been waiting.
for it, baby.
Time to go to Home Depot.
Oh, it's going to be exciting. I wonder if they even have snow shovels right now.
Might have to call Chad. Hey, Chad, can you ship us that snow shovel?
Imagine having the snow shovel.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a good way to avoid getting scary diseases is to not do intravenous drugs, not do cannibalism, and use protection. I feel like all three of these things should be very easy to do.
They should just be the baseline.
And yet many people fail to do them. In the words of Mario, if you do drugs, you go to hell before you die. What? Mario who? As in, it's a me, Mario?
You go to hell before you die.
Luigi, what have you done?
You're a sinner.
I found you with the needles. And why are all these prostitutes here?
What is Peach going to think about this?
Not Peach, it's, what's the other one? Peach is Mario's, who's Daisy. Yeah.
What is Daisy? What is Daisy thing? Where do you get this from? The Donkey Kong?
Oh, yeah, this is absolutely horrible.
That was awful.
That was great,
The
though.
Bowser was right there.
The Bowser?
Donkey Kong.
Oh, was Donkey Kong not part of the...
No, Donkey Kong's a good guy. I mean, he was originally the bad guy, but...
yeah, I just... I guess I'm outdated.
God, you're not up on your Mario lore.
Apparently not. I didn't grow up with Nintendo.
Yeah. Yeah, don't eat brains either.
Who's eating
brains? Don't eat brains. Like, just...
Do you already have a prion inside of you that's making you a zombie?
No, somebody said stick to muscle group meats. Yeah, just like don't eat brains.
Fair.
Lots of organs are safe to eat. Liver is safe. It's actually very nutritious, but I hate the taste and the texture.
Liver King's gonna be disappointed.
Yeah, he is welcome to be disappointed. I've watched that man eat so much raw meat that I am shocked that he is still alive, because I cannot imagine he's going getting it fresh from the butcher. I can only imagine going to Acme, grabbing a steak and being like, yeah, this'll do.
Why would you want to do that?
Yeah, but like I told him earlier, I made a delicious bison bolognese today. If you cook with bison, it's amazing. It's got a great flavor, a great texture. Make sure you cook it with a lot of butter. You know, if you want to maybe like simmer it in heavy cream, that would probably work. You know, or like if you did a roux. Maybe, to add some flavor to it.
Well, Seth Rogen is playing Donkey Kong in the movie, so they may have some heavy drugs now. Oh, and I like the... with, like, the Seth Rogen laugh. That's great.
Donkey Bong.
Donkey Bong.
Yeah, that's how I'm referring to Seth Rogen from now on.
You might as well.
Bison, when you cook bison, you gotta make sure you add some fat to it, because it is typically very lean. It's about 90% lean.
It's really good, but yeah.
Delicious, but definitely add some butter to it.
Bison burgers are great.
Oh my god, I've made some banging bison. And the thing is, you add, with a burger, it's so easy, because you can add mayo, you can add cheese, you know, any number of things that you can just toss onto blue cheese.
No.
Anything that you toss onto a bison burger. Also, I really want to get my own meat grinder. Because I feel like we could make some really cool steaks, steak burgers. Could do like bolognese sauces that are pre-seasoned.
And that the farm that I worked at, they have their own meat. It's 50% Angus, 50% Wagyu, and so you know we can just go right there and pick it up from the freezer, leave cash, and it's really good.
Yeah, that would be awesome. If you can't tell, we enjoy cooking.
Yes.
It's tasty. It's nice.
He's very good.
But, all right. Bison for tacos. That's a good idea.
Ooh.
That would work really well. Sloppy Joe's, too. Yep. Yeah, I love bison. You know, beef is great. I like beef. But
a pipe dream of mine, it has always been, like, as just an aside thing, if I ever had the money, is a bison ranch. Just because, like... I they're such regal animals, and it's such a shame that they were, like,
when we build the Lore Lodge, we can have a bison ranch.
Yes! Help us build the Lore Lodge, and let's save
Alex
the bison.
Alex says, I love lean.
We're saving their gains to gain you gains.
Exactly, guys.
Yes.
But it actually came out really good in the pasta sauce. I got to tweak the recipe a little bit, but I've got some plans for it. Gator taco.
Should we throw a... So what we are doing, we're both getting back to the gym now and on the way over to my place to watch the new episode of House of Dragon after this. I'm going to be picking up some protein powder. Does anybody have any interest in following our process on a Lift Lodge something?
Snapchat, probably.
Snapchat, like him doing a Snapchat, or
we have shirts that say the Lift Lodge on them. Like,
do you actually have it nearby?
No, I don't think I have it anywhere nearby.
Fair.
No, but they're literally our logo, but the deer skull has a barbell in its mouth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That skull.
So that, but it's got a barbell in its
and
mouth.
And it's like it's curved because there's so many weights in the end.
And instead of lift, instead of lore, it says lift.
Lift Lodge, yeah.
It's great. I love it. So if you plan on going to the gym, pick yourself up a Lift Lodge tank.
But yeah, if you guys have any interest, the main reason I ask is because if there's an audience, we're going to feel more obligated to stay consistent. And I know my biggest problem with the gym is consistency. So
could be fun. Exactly.
Could be fun.
And I need to go easier on leg day, I have learned.
Yeah, we were lifting a little bit on Friday, and just like, well, I had some break during work, and he was done researching for the video. And yeah, we did a little bit of legs, and I threw out my back when I was moving, so I went like lighter, and this guy decided to squat some heavier weights, and he's
wasn't too heavy. I think I just like was too much to go straight back to it. My legs still hurt. I was only doing 135.
Yeah, but that's the thing. If you've been away from it for a while, it's
I have such a warped perspective on what's heavy now.
That's like an addict having gone to rehab, not using for a decade, and then going back to the same dose that they had before they went into rehab and overdosing.
But yeah, guys, my Snapchat's the same as everything else. I branded myself accidentally when I was 15. Everything's the Aiden Mattis. if you want to follow Lift Lodge, I'll have a story up for that.
Yeah, you might as well.
I'll share it to my story next time.
We could make an Instagram account for it.
True, we could.
Or we could post shorts to YouTube just like from our phones.
But also, if you're looking at buying Lore Lodge stuff, the coffee is so good. Oh,
it's really good.
Like, I'm so happy with it. It came out exactly as I wanted. You can also support Stakuyi because he has a coffee as well. His is more chocolatey.
Yep.
Ours is more of a mild with berry undertones.
Yep.
Definitely a little bit of chocolate and nuttiness in there, but it's a little bit more traditional coffee. Mm. His works really well with chocolate. So either pairing it with chocolate or if you make it as an espresso. For those who don't know, espresso is not actually a type of bean. It's a process for coffee. That involves taking a very specific amount and then running extremely high pressure, extremely hot water through it.
Yep.
But the idea is that you tamp it so it's very, very compact, and then you push the water through it, and you only pull about 2 to 3 ounces. And so that's what espresso is. You can use any coffee for espresso.
Yep. It's just a matter of getting it that fine and then having the process the ability to do it.
Yeah, it needs to be very fine, and you need to make sure you tamp it down very hard. But you can get like an espresso machine and get your own pods for it and just grind it into there.
Yep.
But yeah, so our coffee is in the description if you want to check it out. We've also got an Amazon storefront where you can get the books that we recommend, as well as coffee supplies, whiskey supplies, t-shirts, bags.
The Lore Lodge will be a bison ranch and a gym. Honestly, that sounds incredible. That's I'd be so in.
I mean, the Lore Lodge will have
a gym for sure.
Yeah, and it's going to be rustic as hell.
Oh, I can't wait.
It's going to be so, so rustic.
Instead of like, steel weights, it's just going to be, like, circular pieces of oak that you put on the end of the bar. So that way, instead of a bit, like, a loud metallic clang, it's just like a wooden thud. Oh, that'd be fun. Or, like, walnut.
I think I've mentioned this on the show before, but once we actually do, we do want to build ourselves an actual like bed and breakfast lodge.
Oh yeah. Like we want to come stay at and stuff. Yeah.
And we want to get a nice big plot of land, and we want to have camping for free.
Yeah.
We want to have designated camping areas where you can go and just camp for free. And we'll have rental equipment. And basically, either bring your own stuff or pay $15 to rent a tent.
Mm.
Probably a much higher security deposit because tents are expensive.
Yep.
But point is, we want to start a thing where people can go camping for free because camping is one of my favorite things.
Yeah. Obviously, in order to pay for like the land initially and then the taxes every year, like we would need to have a substantial sustainable element of the Lore Lodge. But like with that capability, that's the dream.
Yeah, I want to offer the camping for free. And obviously with the option to have a donation to sponsor equipment for somebody else.
And we want to have like a lodge area where it's like, it's a communal space that you can use for you know, like a wedding venue or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that.
You know, we want to bring. I also would love to bring scout troops.
Yeah.
Up and have them do it. Inner city, you know, schools.
Yeah.
I would love to offer. You know.
Be awesome.
You know, for a weekend, we'll give you all the equipment for free. All that. Come on up, and you know, we'll provide food and all that. Just the school district has to pay a certain, you know, pay to cover it, basically. The idea here is for the camping side of things to not make money, but rather sustain itself and allow people to do it for free. So we'd be relying on our own profits as well as donations from people who have means to sponsor that experience for other people. Because I really do believe that getting out into nature and experiencing that is, like, very important. I think so many people don't get enough time out in the woods.
Oh, I know that for sure, because when I was working at the farm that I was at two summers ago, not this past summer, but the previous summer, at one point we had an inner-city school trip come in, and it was, you know, a big group of kids with a bunch of counselors, and, you know, because I was working there at the time, I was helping, like, guide them through the land and explain certain things that were happening there, and a lot of them just, like, were like, yeah, I've never really, like, been out of my block in the city before. And, like, I've never just really... And it's not because they didn't want it. It's just, like, I just didn't really have the opportunity.
They don't have the means.
And some of us, like, I never really thought about it.
Yeah, you don't know how to do it.
Yeah, and, like, we had, like, beekeeper's beehives that were there, and, like, they were asking a bunch of questions about that. And, you know, it's a working, like, half cattle ranch and half, like, farm. And a lot of the, like, the corn and stuff is used to feed the cattle. And it was just, you know, it was a really cool experience just seeing what kind of questions they asked. And, you know, obviously not everybody's going to be that interested in it, but, like, the people that were was absolutely fantastic, so.
Yeah, it's definitely on the list. And for those saying you want a shooting range, it will have a shooting range.
Yep.
Very far from the camping area.
Yeah, oh,
but
liability.
Yeah, I plan to have both. I want an indoor and an outdoor, and I also want a bourbon tasting bar.
That'd be fantastic.
So we're going to have a full-stocked bourbon bar, full-stocked cafe, And the idea here is basically that it's going to be, you know, and there's other stuff I want to do. I want to have, like, extended living options, you know, basically cabins that you can rent. You know, say you're taking a gap year or you're an author and you need to get away somewhere.
You mean us?
Yeah, like, you know, something like that. Like, we would love to have that as well. But, all right. But yes, Noah, there will be a pew-pew range. I don't know about hunting. Hunting is, there's state laws that get involved there. I know for private land, you can hunt as much as you want, I think, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, that's the thing, is, like, if we're not, that's where it gets weird. Because, like, where does, if it's just considered our land, it's not public land, and, like, where would that cross the line of, we're just having guests come and use it versus, you know, like, you're clearly using it as a business or anything like that, so we'll figure it out. I mean, we're not even anywhere close to getting the actual land for Lore Lodge yet, so.
No, we got a long time into where at that point.
Yeah.
Let's see, would you work in any special numbers in the design? Probably not. You know, I am a Freemason, but that's not my sole identity. You know, I'm...
The girl argued milk came from Walmart, not cows. Oh, wow.
That's upsetting.
Yeah. The American education system, everybody.
Yeah. But yeah, it'd be fun to have a shooting range with, like, historic weapons, like a 1903 Springfield.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
A Lee Enfield from World War One. Obviously, they would probably be, you know, later.
There'd be a large range at the range.
Yeah, but, you know, I want to be able to show people that, you know, here's a Civil War rifle. Here's a Revolutionary War era musket.
This is how they had to deal with things back then.
Here's a 1960s
archery range.
Issue M16.
Yep.
Here's a, you know, modern M4.
Yep.
Just let people come and try out cool weapons and learn about gun safety and all that. One guy who I've done some work with in the past, I think we've both done some work with, Maj Tour. Maj Ture from Black Guns Matter down in Philadelphia. He's North Philly native, teaches de-escalation, gun safety training, you know, how to interact with police, how to interact with other people who are armed.
Yep.
You know, awesome dude doing some phenomenal work. And,
great
you know,
stuff.
I would love to have... You know, have some opportunities to work with him on that as well.
Yeah,
he would probably be my go-to guy to be like, hey, you know, we want to do a gun safety course, we want to do a de-escalation course. Can you help us out? Can you write us the thing, and we'll pay for it and all that. So you'd also be able to help help with a really good mission. You know, he's done so much work to make inner cities safer.
Yeah.
So, you know, really fantastic guy.
Yeah.
If you're looking for any nonprofits to donate to, his is. Very solid.
Absolutely.
You know, and I've met him, I've talked to him personally. He is a good dude.
And remember, muzzle loading black powder cannons are completely legal.
Oh, we could have cannons at the Lore Lodge.
We can. Percussion revolvers are gorgeous, though. Yeah. That's for sure.
But, all right. We have got a video to film so that we can have more content for you guys on Friday. We got a bunch of stuff coming out. We've got History Hut coming back.
I guess we didn't officially announce
We've got History Hut coming back. Yeah. We're starting off with the American Revolution because I'm basically going to take whatever I am studying in school and make content about it.
Yep.
I am paying for the education. I will be paid for the education.
It's a revolving door.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. Well, thank you guys so much for watching, and we will see you next Sunday, I guess.
See you, everybody.